We are in a Sivo Shalom. We are back in the piece on Inyan Teva LeDorot. We're continuing where we left off. We had talked about how in life, there are times in life when we go through stages of there being a Mabul. When the whole world is full of sin, is full of chait, is full of ra, is full of tum'ah, full of evil, full of impurity around us. And it feels like there's nowhere to go. There's no escape. That was the reality of the time of Noach. And he was able to go into a teva. We talked about how internally, lo aleinu, there are times when people get to a space where they've done certain things that are so bad, that are so ra, that are so tamay, that they feel like there's no way back. But there's always that, he says, pinata ta'ora. There's always that pure corner. There's that teva that we can go into in order to get through that storm. To bring out that light, to reestablish a reality of tahara, of purity, of kedusha, of holiness, to be able to ride out the storm of the mabul, to wash away the tum'ah that surrounds us or is within us, and be able to get us out to the other side. The teva that we talked about last time was the teva of Shabbos. And we're now going to continue on with the second teva that he talks about. We're actually skipping a paragraph. There's another paragraph about Shabbos. But we're going to skip ahead to the second teva, which is on page Nun Aleph. In your book, it's on page 26. Five lines from the bottom of the page.
Oh, are you recording?
Yes, we're recording. Five lines from the bottom. Odish Lavin. She'inyan teva Noah. Mirumaz ala Torakidushan. There's a whole other teva. And that teva is the Torah itself. The Torah. Shela'achar shenatan HaKadosh Baruch Hu et HaTorah. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, yish kvar koach shmira liYehudi. There's protection for it. The Torah offers us protection. Kima'amar Chazal, Barati Yitzer Hara, I created the Yitzer Hara. Barati lo Torah Tavlin. And I gave the Torah as the antidote to that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, gave us the Yitzer Hara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us desires, gave us distractions, gave us difficulties in life. He gave us ways that we do end up sinning. He gave us ways that we do end up bringing impurity upon ourselves. But the Gemara tells us that he created the Torah as the antidote to that. The Torah is the answer to that. Shatorah hi koach hashmira mi'ashchitut shel dor ha'mabul. The Torah is the protection from the destructive forces of the waters of the Mabul, of the generation of the Mabul. Aval Esek HaTorah, next page. Other direction, there we go. Aval Esek HaTorah be'oto ofen shel chet. Sorry, tzarich liyot be'oto ofen shel chet. Shimasa tzachit b'riticha gam HaTorah tzricha liyot b'hitlavut v'riticha dekedusha. So let's take a step back for a second. Barati yitzhara, barati lo Torah tavlin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the yitzhara and he created the Torah as an antidote. To recognize that the response to the yitzhara, the way to break down the Yetzer Hara, is through Talmud Torah. Torah gives us that ability. Torah gives us that koach, that power. When a person is engaged in Torah, you're connecting to HaKadosh Baruch. It's a direct link to HaKadosh Baruch. And you're learning Torah, you're drawing to Kedusha. You're drawing Tahara down onto yourself. You're connecting to the source of life. You're connecting to what true life really is. Chait is death. When Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadaat Tovaran, they did a chait, they brought death into the world. Chait is death. Tum'ah is bringing living death into one's life. And I'm learning the Torah, I'm drawing life into myself. Meaning a person can go and they can spend their whole life doing sins. But they're mamish the walking dead. They're going around and they're doing
all of these things that seem exciting, that seem alive, that seem like life. You see a person who goes and they spend every night, they go out and they go to a bar and they go and party and they drink and they hook up with some guy and all these things. They look like they're living the life. They look like they're alive. But their mom is dead. There's no life there. There's no life in this world. Those people, honestly, very often, when the whole show is over, they feel empty, they feel dark, they feel depressed, they feel alone, they feel isolated, they feel anxious. There's no life there. And there's no Olam Haba. There's no life in this world, no life in the next world. So they can look very alive, but there's no life there. But what he's saying is, what the Gemara is bringing out is obviously there's many, many layers deeper than that. That's not even the clearest definition of the Gemara. Just to go a little bit deeper into it and to understand. Barati yitzer hara, barati lo torat tavlin. What's actually the technical, the more precise definition of the word tavlin? Anybody know? Tavlin?
Spice.
A spice, excellent. You got to... I love them. A spice.
That's true.
A spice.
She knew the angels.
What does it mean, a spice? Think about it. What you put a spice onto something else. Barati yitzer hara, barati lo torat avlin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the yitzer hara, he created the Torah as a spice. What does a spice do? A spice brings out, enhances, changes the flavor of something. It's a very powerful concept. It's going to lead into what he's going to say in a second, but it's a very powerful concept. If you think about it more deeper than just translating it as an antidote because it's a convenient translation, it means that when a person has a yetzer hara, when we say yetzer hara, which word is problematic? Ra. That the yetzer went to a place of ra. But the yetzer itself, is it ra, tov, or neutral? The yetzer is neutral. That's a very powerful concept. A yetzer is neutral, and a yetzer can go in a direction of ra. But the need to have a yetzer is very real and very important.
What's a
yetzer? A yetzer is an inclination, a drive. So a yetzer ra is the drive to do that ra thing. But a yetzer is just a drive. There's an amazing Gemara which says that when a yetzer hara jumps at you, when a yetzer hara attacks you, you know what the Gemara says? You think the Gemara would say was, beat it down, fight it, overcome it, have gvura. The Gemara says, if you feel a yetzer hara going and attacking you, you know what you should do? Moshehu leveis ha-medrash. Linshuch means to draw. Drag it into the base medrash. And the question is, why would you bring it to the base medrash? Why would you take the yetzer hara away from the base medrash? That's insane. That's craziness. That's insanity. Leave it outside. The base medrash is kadosh. The base medrash is holy. Why would you take the yetzer hara into the base medrash? Why is that the response? Same concept. What's being said here? A yetzer is good. A yetzer is tremendous potential. A yetzer is fantastic. Be very, very careful when you have a yetzer to suppress that yetzer. That's honestly somewhat dangerous. Because if you have this yetzer, this desire, this drive that's welling up inside of you, and you try to push it down, and push it down, and push it down, and push it down, we know this psychologically. What ends up happening inevitably? It gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and will eventually erupt somewhere else. It's not healthy.
So what would bring it to the base medrash
today? That's the idea. So what do you do? What do? You take it to the base medrash. Why? Because the yetzer is just a yetzer. And when you bring it to the base medrash, what happens? There's no ra in the base medrash. The Torah is the spice. When you take the Torah and you add that to a yetzer, that's ra,
You don't lose the Yetzer, you lose the Ra. And you take the intensity that you have and the drive that you have, and you focus that then on Tov.
Never, ever, ever give up a Yetzer. That's huge.
If any of you in this room have ever had a tremendous Yetzer,
you met a boy and you just, he's all you can think about. Tremendous Yetzer.
You were brought to an amazing gala dinner.
And only once you got there, you found out that the Hechsher was a little shaky.
After you got to smell all the food.
If you've been in a place where you've had a Yetzer, you know how strong that can be.
If you take that and you rechannel that into Tov with that tip, can you imagine? And again, this is what we're talking about. Can you imagine, my brothers? Can you imagine sitting in front of a Nesivo Shalom and having the same drive to learn the next word? Like you want to just dig into that buffet, the shmorg at a wedding with the best food you've ever seen in your life. Can you imagine not wanting, not wanting to let go? I don't want to let go. With the same intensity that you might feel when you meet that guy who you think is your Bashir because you met him 15 minutes and you think he's the one. That same intensity.
But to bring that Yetzer to Tov, that's bringing into the Beis Medrash. That's giving it Torah Tavlin. That's using the Torah as a spice to change the whole flavor of the Yetzer and bring it to Tov. It's a whole different way of understanding. And you see this time and time again. I think we talk about this in different ways, even in earlier Shirim. But you see sometimes people come out of Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, people get really fired up. It's constantly, what is always the goal? Stop. Push it down. Deny, deny, deny. I wanted that? No. I have a foreign life? No. I'm not doing this anymore. I won't look at that anymore. I'm not going there anymore. I'm not. It's all of these stop. It's these just constant pullback. And that's tremendous and beautiful and wonderful and acts of gvura that they're going to get scarred on Baba for. 100%. But if you live your whole life pushing down, at a certain point you're going to lose. And you could lose big. Because if you're pushing all of those things down and that potential energy is building up, it's going to erupt eventually. And a person needs to recognize that.
How do I rechannel that energy? How do I move that energy around to a different place?
That's so much more powerful. I know I've told the story before, I don't know if I've told it here. One of the big things that, like, after guys who get frum in their like year or two in Israel, and again, it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. I'm not knocking it inherently. It's a beautiful thing.
What do you see guys do? Take off their glasses when they walk down the street. I don't want to see anything. Look at the ground. I'm looking at the ground. My glasses are off. Now, again, for a Shana Aleph guy, the beginning of Shana Aleph, for a Shana Bet, or whatever it is, that is a tremendous thing because I grew up in Manhattan, and there's nothing that you should really be seeing there,
right?
There's a lot of things that you shouldn't be looking at. So on the one hand, is that a great thing that they're doing? Yes. Different approach.
Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized it. It was mamish like Biyad Hashem. It was clearly Ashkacha. My Rebbe ended up coming in for my wedding. We talked to him a lot last night. A lot of Rebbe stories coming out. I don't know what's going on. My Rebbe was there, was able to come in for my wedding. We weren't able to bring him in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought him in. It was like wild. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought him in. And so the day before my wedding, we went for a walk to go in like schmooze, like pre-wedding, like about to get married, talk about like the marriage, the wedding. To schmooze.
And so he said,
I live in Manhattan. So he said, let's go walk to Central Park. So we're walking to Central Park with the streets of Manhattan. And he wears glasses. Did he take his glasses off?
No. It's so amazing just to see how it's a small thing. Again, I'm not knocking the people who take their glasses off. I'm saying eventually you need to grow to a place where you do the following.
You need to understand that the healthy way to live is to do the following.
He didn't take his glasses off. He just looked down. Why would he look down? Down, covering, depressed. I'm not fucking him. He looked up. Nobody's ever thought of this before. It's like, wild. There are only two directions. How come nobody else thought of this? He looked up. And he looks up.
And he's talking to me about the beautiful architecture on the old buildings and how it looks and the skill that went into it and nabach, how the new buildings have no skill to them and they're just putting up these things that just like look like ugly pieces of metal and brick that are going up and the sky and the bird. He's just, the whole time, he didn't see anything that he didn't want to see. Had he not seen anything he didn't want to see? Not by not looking, looking down and covering. Take the Yetzirah and use it a different way. There's a famous story from the Gemara that I love to quote in this context also. Forget which one of the Amoraim it was. But he was walking down the road. He's walking down the road and he sees this boy and this girl who are walking on the road in front of him. And this guy and this girl meet up. And the guy, the Gemara quotes this whole story. The guy says, oh, are you walking that way? And he goes, yeah, I'm walking that way. He says, you're walking that way? He says, yeah, I'm walking that way. We walk together. And he goes, oh my God, we may go down that road. They're going to be in Yichud. And they're going to commit terrible avirus. I have to be there to protect them. So he stays back. A bit of a distance. And he walks at a distance. Not that he wants to be rude. He's not obnoxious. And walks with them. Miles and miles and miles. Walks with them.
So
strangers. It's caring.
No, they're probably the strangers.
He wants to see Shmira. Shmira. Yeah. Shmira.
Right, I got that. But if someone was following me for miles and miles,
in any event, they come to a crossroads. And he says, which way are you going? She says, I'm going that way. She says, where are you? He says, I'm going that way. It's okay, great, bye, nice to see you. And they walk and they go their separate ways. This is an Amora we're talking about. It gets quoted in the Gemara. He sits on the floor and he cries his eyes out. He says, are you kidding me? If that were me, he says, I wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes before committing an avera. How did they do that? And you think to yourself, he has no self, it's modern take. He has no self-control. These rabbis can't control themselves. What's wrong with them? They're so gross. Right? What's going on? Seriously, what's up with this guy? He's worried he can't hold up 5 minutes on the road with some girl. What's wrong with him? What makes somebody an Amora? To be an Amora, you don't just learn. You gotta have a Yetzer inside of you that is fired up like crazy. But where do you take it? To Tov. If you find somebody who lacks passion, excitement, somebody who has no drive, there's nothing there. You see somebody whose mom is fired up, there's tremendous potential there. And the point is, Moshchei Reveis HaMezhesh. Torah Tavim. And that's why when a person, Lo Aleinu, and I'll get you point, when a person, Lo Aleinu, gets lost in Tum'ah, gets lost in a mubble, you can clear all that away with the Kedusha of the Torah. It takes all of you, and everything you are can bring you to a place of Tahara. It brings you to a place of Kedusha. The Torah is a Teva. No matter what's going on externally or internally, you walk into a Beis Medrash, you walk into a room, you close the door, you open up a Sefer, and you're entering into a Teva. You're entering into an Ark of Kedusha that the whole world can't touch because you're entering into the inner world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the koach of the Torah. Going a few lines back and going back inside, he says very powerfully. Don't worry, you won't miss anything. Very powerfully. Sorry, I'm not used to. I don't like the booklet situation. I don't know if I'm using the booklets next year. I think we're just going back to
the booklet.
Really?
No,
I'm not feeling it. I'm just used to using the safe. I need the safer. Aval Isaac HaTorah. Aval Isaac HaTorah. When you learn Torah, Sarich. Back inside. Top of the next page. So we're on top of Nun Bet. We're on top of page 27 in your packets. Sarich liyot be'oto ofen shalachet. He says, but when you learn Torah, for the Torah to be that tiva, for the Torah to be that ark for you, that place of safety for you, it has to be the same way as the sin itself. As the sin itself. Everybody's face back in. It has to be with the same intensity.
Oh,
in the same way as the sin itself. That if you did the sin, if you feel, if you feel that you did something that mamish brought ra into you, you did something that mamish brought tumah into you. And usually when you feel in a place where you feel so ra and so tumadik that you can't serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu, you feel so distant. It's not because like you're like, oh, I put my shoes on the wrong way, now I just can't have a Avodas Hashem today. Like, it's like, no, we're talking about real sins. We're talking about real chataim. We're talking about doing things that really bring tumah onto you, into you. After you've done it. He says, if you want to be able to go and to get into the safety of that tiva, when you feel like, we're not talking about external storms here, but we're talking about the internal storm. I feel the ra inside. I feel the tuma inside. There's no hope. There's no way to get out of the storm. And the answer is yes, there's a teva. Inside of you, there's always a place inside that you can go back to the Torah. But if you want to get into that teva, you got to really get into it. Because there's a storm raging. And how do you do that? He says that getting into the teva, it has to be the limud Torah, talmud Torah, with the same intensity as the sin itself. That if you mamish did the sin, where your mamish, your whole being was drawing you to do that sin, you had no way of overcoming it. The taiva was so strong, you felt your whole body, your whole being drawn to that sin in the deepest place. Then your learning has to be with fire, with passion, with a fire of Kedusha. Not like that. It doesn't look like that. Right? It's gotta look.
Is that
on? Yes. The opposite of that. Right? Meaning, you can learn Torah and you're doing great. It's the beginning of Shana Aleph. You're doing great. Right? It's the beginning of Shana Aleph. It's late night. You're doing great. Right? But when it comes to Torah, like, you guys are all sitting here, and that's the negative side of Shurim sometimes, is that it's very passive. Right? The difference, like, when you have a chavruta, when you get to teach something, whatever it may be, like, to really, really get into it. To get into the Torah with that fire, with that same fire, with that same passion, with that same excitement. That's it. Your whole body's boiling inside of you, just like when you did the sin.
That's so not realistic.
It is totally realistic. There's a chavruta that I got the schus to see many, many times. They had a chavruta. I've heard that they don't necessarily do this anymore because they noticed the guys were noticing them. But there's a very, very, very tremendous Talmud Chacham Gadol. Sephardic rabbi, who's in the Beis Medrash where I went Shana Aleph. He's like, if you guys ever met like real legit like Sephardi like rabbis, like the kind like when they look at you, like you feel like you've just been purified by them looking at you with their eyes. Like he's like a whole different level. He's like amazing, and he has a chavrusa, also tremendous gadol, Talmud Chacham, like no messing around. And I wish I had a video of it to show you. To see what real chavruta looks like, to see what real fire of Torah looks like. So for one, I got to like really take it in one summer. There was one summer when we were in campus. We took the summer off. We came to Israel, and I just went in every day for like 2 months, and I just learned back in the Beis Medrash where I had Shana Aleph Shana Bet, but there were no Shana Aleph Shana Bet guys. It was just Rebbeim there, like learning over the summer. Rebbeim called guys from there over the summer. It was very chill. There was a lot of people there, but like the learning was serious. Everybody there was really there to learn, and they were learning in the spot that they always learn at. Towards the back, to the left. And you would wait for it every day. At some point during their chavruta learning, they would get up and they would start screaming at each other in Hebrew. I'm trying to think, he's like, no, that's not true, that can't be, no, you're wrong, no, they would go at it. If it was a really good day, they would push the other into the wall. They were best friends. Like, inseparable best friends. But for them, all it was about was getting to the MS of the Torah. They were so passionate about their side and how they understood the Gemara, how they understood the Halacha, how they understood the Rishon, how they understood the Achron. It was life and death for them. It's like, no, it has to be. There was like, the passion, the excitement was there. It was alive. They would get up and go at it. They would come to some sort of conclusion. They would sit back down. They would keep going. Remember, I was told a story. I've told this story many times in the past, but like, I don't think you've heard it yet. By someone who was at the wedding of one of their daughters. So one of their daughters got married, and obviously these got best friends, chavrusas, chavruta omituta, chavrusas for life. And what happens? So he has his chavrusa, his best friend, another tremendous gadol ador, the gadol Talmid Chacham, one of the edim under the chuppah. And it's something that happens at every wedding. It's not clear to me how it's possible that this happens at every wedding, but it manages to happen at every wedding, which is, no matter what time you start the wedding, somehow the chuppah happens like right around shkia, where there's a whole shiloh, whether or not, what do you do with the ketubah, if it's before shkia, if it's after shkia, what date should be on it, becomes a whole shiloh.
It can't be after shkia?
It becomes a shiloh. What date is on the ketubah, what date did they get married, it becomes a shiloh. I'm not saying that there's a problem necessarily, I'm not saying that there's not ways around it, I'm not saying that you can, but there's a shiloh. So the Rav, whose daughter was getting married, who was also under the chuppah, he goes to the guy who was reading the ketubah. He says, just skip ahead, get to the end, we gotta go. And he is all in Hebrew. And his chavrusa is saying there's a kiddush. And he goes, he starts arguing with him. He says, no, what are you saying? No, he's gotta read all the ketubah. And my friend was sitting in the front row at the wedding, and he was watching. He already saw this happen. And he saw the rabbi whose daughter was getting married, looked back and he goes, he says, even here, they're arguing with me. It's like, oh, everybody, leave me alone. Like, you know. But that's what it means to be alive with Torah. To have that passion, that excitement. Yeah, you can have that also. Does it seem realistic to you, all of you right now? Maybe not. Does it seem realistic to everybody listening to this right now, no matter what stage of life you're at? Whether you're in college or in graduate school, whether you're working, no matter how old you've been. Does that necessarily always seem realistic? Maybe not. You think that I was kidding with you when I said I waited all break to come back to Night Seder? I love this. I live for this. This is an act. When you find Torah that you love, that you just brings you to life, and even if it's stuff, it doesn't have to be even the things that, I mean, this happens to be one of those things. I teach Gemara in the morning. I teach a beginner's Gemara class. You know how painful it is to teach a beginner's Gemara class? You know how painful it is and challenging it is to structure an entire lesson with 10 guys who are supposed to be learning Gemara, and the lesson is on one word? How do you fill 50 minutes on one word? The answer is, do you really care? And I could go on and on about the one word for days. Because if you really understand the root of the word, and you really understand how the word works, you really understand how the word is in context, and you really understand how it can totally transform how the Gemara is learned, and how to learn it properly versus how to learn it improperly, and how this word introduces a brisa or a mishnah, and has a Tanaic source, and it's a machloket, and you don't understand it internally, and you don't understand it internally, because you don't understand it internally, now you can put it back into the Gemara, so the Gemara's not going to do for you. So if you didn't talk about the same topic, you're talking about a different topic. And that's how you use a meitzvah or a meitzvah. And it's exciting, because it's Torah. So yeah, you can get there. Even on one word of Gemara, not you, Chas v'Shalom. There's no Gemara line for you. Right? It's fine with Gemara. According to some. Right? So, how do I hold? Who knows? Right? So, meaning you can get excited about that. So really, you can get excited about that. But you bring that same passion and excitement, and that's what you can have. If your whole year is just that, if your whole year is just sitting back, relaxed, just listening, tremendous schar in Olam Haba. But that's not getting into it. If your whole year looks like this, it's a step in the right direction. All that passion and energy and excitement is coming out through your mind, to your hand, to your pen, to gorgeous handwriting on sticky notes, or alternatively on to a pink pen on the side margins in your book. There's always one with a pink pen in the margins. There we go. There's always one. You don't have a different book yet? All good. There's always a couple of those. And then there are some people, and it's not bad if it's not you. I'm saying, like, can you get there? If you want to get there, you can get there. Where they walk out of shir, it doesn't have to be this shir, you can switch out of this shir to a better shir. That's not my point. You walk out of whatever shir you're in that you want to be at, and you walk up to the person who was in some other night seder, and you're like, you got to hear this. Then Sefer Shalom says the most amazing thing. So the most amazing thing. I had... On this Sivo Shalom chat that many of you are listening to right now. Do you know how there are a bunch of people on this chat? You know why they're on this chat? Because their daughters were in Tiferet, and after Night Seder called up their parents and said, Abba, Ima, you got to hear this, the most amazing thing. Not what I said, the Sivo Shalom says. And they said, this sounds amazing. I was like,
And they ended up on the chat.
Now they're listening to this shir right now because their daughter, who's one of you, was so excited because that's excitement. That's passion about Torah. Yeah, it's coming Torah with excitement.
You think you can't do that? I challenge you.
I challenge you to have more self-confidence in your ability to connect to a Kaddish Baruch Hu and connect to Torah.
Absolutely is.
You got to come with that excitement. When you come with that excitement, when you come with that connectivity,
the Torah becomes a teva for you.
The Torah becomes a teva for you.
When the world is storming outside with tum'ah, whether the world is storming outside with ra, like it is right now,
maybe a little bit farther from us, but we're fighting a war, a literal war against ra on
multiple sides right now.
I want you to take in for a second. Actually take in for a second. Look around this room. This is our teva. We're in it right now. Right now, you are in tevat noach.
A few walls, protect us against the rain.
We're in a space of Torah learning. This is our teva together. That when the world goes crazy, you turn off your phone, you put it away, you shut off everything, you put the boys out of your mind, you put the struggles of the outside world out of your mind, you put Ben Yehuda out of your mind,
put all of it out of your mind,
and you're here. You're here in a teva. And everything else is just out there. And you can get to this space. That's why he wrote the Sefer. He's your teva. The Sefer is your teva. This room is our teva. It's a very powerful concept. So he says you have to come to it with that same excitement, with that same hitla'avut. Let's go back inside to the text. Three lines from the top. Page Nun Bet. Page 27.
Uvetivat Noach hayu tachtiim shniim ushilishim.
And he says in the teva of Noach there were three levels. The psukim bring it out. There were three levels.
Ten more minutes.
There were three levels.
Tachtiim, the low level. The shniim, the middle level. And then the shlishim, the top level.
Umiromaz keneged gimel tkufat b'chayah adam. He says that these three levels are keneged three stages in a person's life.
Hashanim ha-tzi'irot, the younger years. Hashanim ha-emsa'iyot, the middle years, midlife.
Ushnot ha-zikna, and the elderly stage of life. Shebekol tkufa yish yitzarim shonim. In each stage of life, we all have different yitzaharas. Young people have a particular type of yitzhara. People who are more middle-aged have a different type of yitzhara. Old people have a different stage of yitzhara.
Uveshanim atzirut yesh atzitzirim ha-shayachim l'shanim elu.
Uveshanim ha-msayim ha-adam omed b'milchama b'shtei chazitot chazit ha-ta'ava v'chazit ha-tirdut.
When a person's young, they have yetzers that are relevant to being young.
The rampant yetzer, particularly in the realm of guys and girls, that's the younger years.
The yetzer of desire, of drive, of all forms of instant gratification.
The yetzers of younger life.
There's the yetzers also of the middle of life. Where in the middle of life, there's the war between still having taivas and also having the stresses of life.
I gotta say, you guys don't realize how much of a teva this is for me. These last few weeks, this is very much my teva. Quantitatively, I think I've learned less in the last few weeks than I've learned in a very, very long time. Because on the one hand, yeah, there's all kinds of things pulling at me, and I'm saying no, obviously saying no to the things that are negative that you should say no to. But that's not enough. In this stage of life, it's all good and I love them all. But there is tremendous pressure from work. You don't have that yet. Tremendous pressure from work. Tremendous pressure from family life, spousal relationship, kids to take care of, kids who are in school, kids who are out of school, kids who are dealing better with the matzav, kids who are dealing less well with the matzav, how well or how not well your spouse and your family are dealing with it. Running a Shana Aleph program is not simple. Running a Shana Aleph program where you're worried about how well they are or are not dealing with things is even less simple. Somebody just asked me about this earlier today. So next week we're supposed to have a Yerushalayim Shabbaton. That would be stressful for me in my first year, no matter what, of figuring out the logistics. I mean, it's all done. You know, like just understanding what's happening, who needs to be there, the staffing, whatever. All the classic stuff that I was ready for. I wasn't ready for, does it have a miklat? Pikud HaOrev going to allow us to go on top of that? Is the Moked Teva going to be able to come through and order on top of that to be able to go? And then what about the parents? Will everybody be able to go? Like, this is just year one. Can we just get to Yerushalayim? And like, can I understand what Yerushalayim Shabbaton looks like, please? That would be enough pressure on its own. There's 800 questions that the people who know this stuff like the back of their hand don't know the answers to that don't involve those conversations. And then if not, do we stay on campus? Well, how do you stay on campus? Well, one of the Rebbeim is supposed to have a bar mitzvah, first son on campus next week. And how does that interact with that? And which Rebbeim are going to be on to do the meals? And which Rebbeim are going to be on to do the Divrei Torah because it was supposed to be a shot off Shabbos? Do we let guys out? Do we force them to stay in? Is it going to be easy for them to have the bar mitzvah? The guy, questions that like, what? The pressure and the pressure and the pressure. And between taiva and life stresses. It's not fun to make a pitch to a bunch of Shana Aleph girls and say, hey, anybody who's off tomorrow, if you want to come and play with my kids, play with my kids. I don't enjoy making that pitch. There's no time and no energy and no space. Tomorrow, my hope is not to have a day off and not to have a day to learn. My hope is that tomorrow there's enough coverage for my kids and my family that I'll be able to prepare morning shiur for next week so I can deal with whatever crisis comes up next week and have my 5 shiurim for morning shiur and Gemara prepared so that way I can be ready for whatever comes at me next week. Then get to Shabbos. That's my hope for tomorrow. That's my hope for tomorrow. That's the next stage of life. You guys don't realize the tremendous opportunity you have. All you have to fight is taiva. And that's not easy. And in this stage of life, the taiva is much stronger in a certain way. But the next stage is that fight between taiva and all the other responsibilities you have to still be committed to learning Torah, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to mitzvos, to excitement. Just because life gets stressful, and I'm saying this from personal experience because we all have failures, and this is a failure of mine. Suddenly your shacharis that was 50 minutes gets cut down to 45 or to 40 because you're coming a little bit later, leaving a little bit earlier. And while you're there, you're more distracted. Davening is sacred to me. I don't daven in the yeshiva because I want to be in my own space. I don't want to be looking at which guy is coming in, if they're coming in earlier, if they're coming later, the guy who sees a low or pass me on the back of this. Rabbi, can I ask you a question? It's like, no, I don't care when you want to go out for Shabbos. Talk to me after davening in my office. I don't want to do that during davening. I don't want to focus on Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know what I've been doing every day this week? Thank you for asking. We have wake up done in the yeshiva by Madrichim. We have a problem, though, because 100% of our madrichim are now in uniform on the front lines. So we don't have madrichim anymore. So every single day now, and there are guys in shul who look at me sideways, like I'm a big chote and poshea, every single day, I never take my phone to shacharis. Every day now, I take my phone to shacharis on airplane mode. And at 7:32, which is around when Chazaras HaShatz is in full swing, there's another piece there, it doesn't really matter. But like, let's just go with that the simplified version of the story. I take my phone, it's so embarrassing. I take my phone, I turn it off of airplane mode, and I clearly walk out of shul with my phone. And everybody's looking at me like, this is a serious place to daven. Like, who are you? Why do you have an iPhone here? And why are you going out to go talk to somebody during Chazaras HaShatz? And I stand outside the shul, and my talisman's filling. I open up Alexa. Because I made sure to install, not knowing that I would need it this badly, a PA system in Lev HaTorah this year. We have Alexas in every single apartment. And you can control Alexa from your phone. And I stand there outside during Chazaras HaShatz, while I'm supposed to be focused on Chazaras HaShatz, and I yell outside, probably the people next to the window are wondering what the heck is going on, Boker Tov Yiladim! It is 29 minutes till Shacharis. Try to drag yourself out of bed, drag your friend out of bed, and make sure to get downstairs. See you in 29 minutes for a day of Avodas Hashem. And then I hit send.
And then Yirtzeh Hashem, it should wake, I know it doesn't wake everybody up, but it wakes most of the guys up. And around half of those guys make it to chakras. And we have no way of following up because we don't have any madrugim.
Halavai. Right? Halavai.
Then we have to give them the snooze button needs a horror speech. Right? I'm saying, like, you hit a stage of life where, like, stuff just hits you. And it's overwhelming. You're not in that stage yet. But that's the next stage.
That's the shneem. That actually happens every day. That happens every day. The guys look at me funny because I walk out with my phone now from shul.
Oh, from
yeah, obviously.
That's the second stage. And
when you get older, there's a whole different type of yetzer. He doesn't explain it, and I'm not that old yet, so I don't know what he's talking about yet. And so too, the way that we think, our minds change from one stage to the other. How do you overcome all of these challenges? One answer. Torah. You have to come back to Torah. It doesn't matter what's hitting me right now in life. I need to make, and I've been thinking about this for the last couple of days, but things have been calmed down a little bit for now. I need to add a Seder back. I had a goal to get through all of Tanakh for the first time in my life by the end of the year. I don't know if I'm going to make it anymore.
But I am 60 or 70%, there's a tracker for it, an amazing app, but you can like just keep track of every parak that you've done in Tanakh.
I'm like 70% of the way through.
By the end of the year, which year?
This calendar year, that was the goal. It got thrown off track in a lot of ways. By the end of the secular calendar year.
My
goal was by the end of the based on how much time I had given myself, it was like by the end of the secular calendar year. So I have a lot left. My point is like this is mostly for me. Yeah, there's pressures in life. There's always pressures in life. Yeah, there's pressures. Sorry, yeah, but you know what? Make it happen. Yeah, there are and
back to where you're at. There's pressures in life. Yes, you only get 1 year in Israel. And yes, and I'm not picking it up. There's so many people in this room, and we all know it's true, right?
Ben Yehuda is calling out. And Holy Bagel is calling out for those of you who don't like to walk too far. And the Merikaz is calling out for those of you who can actually stomach walking at least 10 minutes. Right?
The Merikaz is calling, and
Holy Bagel's calling, and Ben Yehuda's calling, and Yerushalayim is calling. Everything is calling out. Where's the hangout? Where are the guys hang out? Who can I meet? Should I date this year? Should I not date this year? I heard that it's bad to date this year, but he's really cute and he's super from.
He is, I know, because I talked to him last night for like 6 hours into the night and it was only from talk.
Right? You get into these zones. There's time that's going on. That's normal. It's a stage of life. This is the time of life. This is the moment in life to commit to Torah. To say no to those yetzers. There's a time I like to say, yes, there's always going to be more to do. There's always going to be more pressure. There's always going to be something more to clean, something more to cook, another person to take care of, another thing to take care of, another thing for work you could do. But no, this is by via Satora, this is sacred. For those of you who are up to graduate school, up to work, family life, you know what I'm talking about.
Different stages.
V'tamira tikkun, we'll finish up the last few lines. V'tamira tikkunu bekoach haTorah.
The tikkun is Torah.
This is the advice to stand in any, doesn't matter what stage of life you're at. The Tevat Noach HaMaginal Yehudi B'tachtim Shnei Shalim. No matter what stage you are in life, there's different stages of the Teva because there's different stages of Teva for you. No matter what stage of life you're at, there's a place in the Teva for you. There's a place in Talmud Torah for you. And the Talmud Torah has a need and a place in your life. No matter what stage of life you're at.
Torah is that safe haven. Torah is the place you need to go to maintain a reality of Kedusha, of Tahara, of connectivity to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You need it. That's the table from the store of life, whatever stage you're at.
Shetiye pina tohora. Hashmura mikol ha-shchitut sham yitromem yudi la-shayiparach. That there's again that corner of Tahara that's protecting us from all of the destruction, from all of the shtiyot. The Zohar says, "The ikenishta chada yitarun b'tshuva miyad ben David ba, shezo inyan tevat Noach lehabil makom l'kedusha la'atzoret et hitpashtut hatum'a shelo tuchal likanesha." That you have this teva of Noah, that there's a place of kedusha, the Beis Medrash, your desk at home, if you keep it full of svarim and pictures of gedolim. your local base medrash, your local Beit Knesset, this room that used to be, no, this room which is a Chadar Ochel.
Yeah.
It is a Chadar Ochel. That used to be the base medrash. Everybody's eating here now. It's the Chadar Ochel now. But one second. But now we're making it a Makom of Kedusha. We're linking into the Kedusha that was here when this was the base medrash. We're drawing the Kedusha of the base medrash back into here and back into us. And that's the concept of I created a Yitzhar, but I created the Torah as a spice, as an antidote. As an antidote to the Yitzhar, as a spice to take that Yitzhar and raise it up. To take that drive and drop the rod and bring that drive to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. To yes, learn and sit over that sefer, salivating over the next word. Like it's a smorgasbord of the biggest wedding there ever was. To learn with the most excitement and connectivity and desire to know, like it's a cute boy sitting across from you at the table. To learn with a fire and a passion, that is a teva that can save you from no matter what's going on in the world outside and what's going on in your inner world. As we come into Parshas Noach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us to be able to weather all of the storms of life, on the outside to find those tevas, to find Shabbos, like we're about to have together, to find Shabbos, and to live in the teva of Shabbos, to open ourselves up to the fact that yes, every one of us can get into Torah in this way, the Torah, the Beis Medrash, the Beit Knesset, that Torah can be that teva for us, that in our lowest moments, we remember that and come back to Shabbos and come back to Torah. And from there to allow us to sail through those waters and come out the other side. And in our best moments, to live in that teva with tranquility, safe from the outside world, elevating ourselves to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu forever and ever. There's Rav Shammai always.